Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen.
Amen. He's here to change lives. You agree with that? Yeah, because I need my change all the way to the end. Amen. I'm still here. That means there's more work to be done. Amen. Miracle worker. Promise keeper. No cancer. No affliction. No pain. No sorrows. Man, God is still God. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you for praying. Thank you, musicians. Thank you for praying for my wife. She came out of surgery this morning, doing well. Then I had to take her. Sorry. Then I had to take her back to her doctor in the afternoon so they can check her eye and pull out that little, you know, captain hook patch, whatever you call that, pirate something they put on it. So she's doing well and she's taking her medicine. So thank you for your prayers. I appreciate that. And she sends her love to you guys too. Thank you. Sorry, let me see if I can. I don't know, are you open or are you closed? Let's check it out. Okay, here we go. So, we're giving the pastor a little break. The pastor needs a break too. You know, I mean, he don't need to break down, but he needs breaks. And he had a heavy, heavy weekend with Brother Timothy, you know. He don't have a car. He don't have a place to go. They had to cater for him here, take him over there, feed him over there, you know, bring him. So he was doing a little bit more than the pastor do on the weekend. So he needs a break. So, and we are glad to do what we can. So our pastor be happy, because when he's happy, we all happy, see? Let's make him happy. Amen. So tonight I got something that God put in my heart. So try to see if I can stick to the program and not kind of deviate back and forth. We can finish this quickly. I don't want to finish too quick, but quick enough. No. So let us look at Acts chapter 4, 1 verse 13, and then we just move on. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled." They said, "Wow." And they took knowledge. So they took knowledge, that meaning that, you know, they acknowledge that something is different with those guys. They're poor, unlearned, uneducated, no advantage. You know, poor and everything, low down, worthy or nothing, just fishermen, distinct like fish every day. But there's something wrong with those guys. Something has happened. And they took knowledge of them that they have been with who? Man, Jesus can change a life. A life like Peter. Can you imagine? If he can do Peter, he can do me. Peter was a character until Jesus came along. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to stand, Father, in this sacred pulpit, Father, behind, and bring your word, Father, word that will give us life, Father. It's more than life to us. So, Father, I just like to set myself aside and let you, Father, control every move, every manner, anything that I said, have all the control of your Holy Spirit tonight, Father. I promise that I will put myself aside, but I want you to fill me, Father. Fill my mouth, Father. So you can bless your people, because that's what they came for, to be blessed by you, to hear your word, Father, so they can live here, Father, as the two disciples that will go to Emmaus, Father. Their heart will be burning, Father, when they heard, Father, the word of God preached to them, Father. Father, we love you. We thank you. Be with our pastor. Give a good evening. Rest, Father. And thank you for all the things you do for us, Father. Thank you. Because without you, I don't even know what I want to, I mean, what I could be without you. I'm glad that you didn't let me go that far, Father. I'm glad that I didn't want to go that far, but because you saved me and you came and pulled me out, filled me with your Holy Ghost, and that was the end of that life, Father. Father, thank you. We appreciate you. We love you. Now we ask you to have your way in our hearts tonight, your way in this service, Father. Father, everything that we do may be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. So here, Peter and John. I guess they were having a little preaching outside, like Jesus used to do, go outside in the fields and gather the people. We gather around, and as he did many times, either on top of the hill or in the valleys, he went around doing good, and disciples always follow him. So here we have the high priest. They, see, perceive. They, that was the high priest and the guards. I'm sorry. And also those that Jewish, religious Jewish. So they started checking things out. Well, the spine, you see. Because, hey, this is Acts chapter 4. Okay, God already died, resurrected, ascended, and gave gifts to man. The Holy Ghost came down. And these guys are checking something out. I thought we got rid of that guy. But we are hearing some things around here, you know. The move hasn't died. So let's go and check it out, because we cannot believe. I mean, that guy is not here any longer. Well, surprise, surprise, we're not there. And you know, the move's still going. And by their surprise, it's still going strong. I mean, after 60 years in this message, we're going strong. Satan is not enough to put water on this fire. He cannot consume this fire. This fire will go all the way. We burn all the way. See? So there was that way, checking things out. So, but this is that guy, Peter and John. I know Peter and John, you know. We see him following the master. We saw him in the places. Every time Jesus preached, there they were. So something is not right. Something don't smell good around here. Okay? So we know that Peter and John was speaking immediately. This is after the Holy Ghost was given, under the influence of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And Jesus told them, you know, receive the Holy Ghost and don't worry. Don't make no plans. Don't worry about what you're going to say. When the time comes, I will give you words. I will guide you. I will lead you. And I will teach you. So these guys, they've been taught by Jesus Christ. Amen. So they had a revelation to Peter. So that was a big difference in their life, that they walked with the master. And there were no doubt that these Pharisees looked at them and they said, but these guys are not learned. I mean, they have no education. But they have something better than what they have. They have the gift of the Holy Spirit. See? Not only the gift, but they had the giver of the gift. So, and that works more than any PhD. That works more than any schooling, than any cemeteries, you know. So, when we are taught by the revelation of the word by Jesus Christ, we don't have to take no stand to Satan. See? Because the gift is what expresses God in our life. Okay? It wasn't so much Peter. It wasn't John. It's the gift. So, what is a gift? And as Andy was praying, this is what Brother Brennan says, 64:205. He says, in God is his own interpreter. Right? Check the title. God is his own interpreter. What he says, what is a gift? Not something that you take and chop and turn. No, no. It is know how to get yourself out of the way that God can use you. And that's what they perceive. You saw those guys, they go, wow. Well, they surrender. They were humble. See, they yield to God. God filled them, and then they were ready to be used. So, I know, some of you say, but I don't know if I have a gift. But we all have that gift. And the gift is, get out of the way so God can use you. As long as you are in the way, God cannot use you. As long as you're in the way, when you come to church, you will not receive anything. The gift is, get out of the way. God, I surrender to you. Use me. Do as you have said, Mary said. See? The gift is only getting yourself out. Then God can use you. So I don't care if you're a good preacher, bad preacher. I don't care how many gifts. I don't care if you sing pretty or, you know, and all that. It's just true. But if you're not out of the way, then it's not God. There's only one can be in control. And when you come to church, it's only one that can be in control. So empty yourself out when you come to church. Throw yourself, leave yourself out. And let God fill you. And God will use you. So if we come with any preconceived ideas, or this should be this way, or this should be that way, you need an expectation, just empty yourself out. God, I'm coming. Fill me. Influence, Brother Matt says, this is a gift. To get out of the way is a gift. To throw yourself out is a gift. So I'm giving you a gift tonight. Say, so what is a gift? That is to if that I can move my own thinking. See, this is Brother Brown talking. To if that I can move my own thinking and I can move my own life from me. My natural life, my soul, William Branham. If I can get him out of the way, God will use the spirit, the body to do what? To speak. Okay, we want the spoken word, get out of the way. Is that easy enough, right? The only thing that's stopping God from doing whatever he needs to do with you is you. It's not your preacher. It's not the pastor. It's not your wife. It's not your husband. It is you. You are your worst enemy. Throw him out. Amen. So God will use the spirit, the body, to speak. And that's why the Holy Spirit is in your life. So he can rule over this flesh, this body. And not only your body, you are part of a bigger body. But the body cannot function unless the smallest part will empty themselves. Because this finger, it decides to do what he wants. But I don't want to go left, I want to go right. Well, you need to submit. You need to surrender. Because this is the man of Christ. That's the one that gives the orders and we pack it. You know? So, let's see how this is. It works in the body. It says, Christ, the mystery of God revealed. But if you have the man of Christ, Christ expresses himself through you. Ain't that what you want? So throw yourself out. Throw your thinking, your ideas, your thought, what I thought. When I come to church, what I thought. Forget about yourself. You're not that important. I mean this. The important thing is that God wants to use you. God wants to express himself through you. And you want him to take the liberty to manifest himself to you. And that's what you're here for. That's what we are here for. I want to be used by Christ. Amen? That's our goal. Amen? So, casting down any, all imaginations that come against the word of God. Completely. Amen? The reason we have fights and fusses and we argue is because we have two thoughts. The wife has a thought and the man has a thought and the husband has a thought and they are disagree in each one. And that's where the fuss comes from. Because, no, this is the way. No, this is my way. But this is a, throw yourself out and just come together and figure out what God wants you guys to do. Amen. The token, he says, holding your confession in the word that Jesus Christ has died for you. And when he does it, he displays himself. The only way God can express himself through you, the only way God can display, reflect his way to you, is that you have to be out of your way completely. At home, at school, see, anywhere you go. They saw Jesus. They acknowledged that, hey, there's something different. You want people to see Jesus in you? Then let him reflect himself through you. But in everything that you do, any choice that you make, just choose him. Amen. We display himself through you. Amen. See, when you recognize the token, and that's the Holy Ghost in our life, the life that it took for the blood to speak. Okay, that was a payment. That was a token. For what? So God can use you. Amen. To do what? To speak through you. That is more than my brains can even right now assimilate. How can God speak through me? Well, throw the brain out and throw the mind out. You don't have to figure out anything. It's all figured out for you. Yeah? You won't be able to. Amen. Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him with the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto death. What did we overcome? Ourselves. This is all about you. I'm sorry. Tonight, this is all about you. Don't you like it? Okay. Yeah. Well, you have to overcome yourself. Not the pastor, not the church, not somebody else, yourself. Amen. If you want God to reflect himself to you, you need to overcome your unbelief. Amen. By the blood of the Lamb. So those that overcame themselves, see, and those that had a testimony, what was the testimony? My life. My walk and my breath is all his. I'm living, I'm walking, and I'm breathing for him. That's all. That takes everything. So we live for him, we die for him. So when he said they love not their life, that means they love God more than they love themselves. You don't have to love me, but you need to love God more than you love yourself. Because the Bible then tells you, you love your wife and you love yourself. So see, you cannot get out of it anyway. Because the way you love yourself is you're going to love your wife. The way you love yourself, you're going to love each other. So the way you perceive the love for God to you, that's how you're going to do it. But it says they love not their life. So that means it doesn't matter what I got to do. If that's what God wants me to do, I love him enough that I'm going to do it. And you know what? Once we get in that situation, when we get in that frame of mind that we are ready for God to use you, then you don't need a gift. All you need to do, be ready and present for whatever time God wants to use you. It could be a church. It could be a school. It could be a work. I don't know where God is going to use you. But the man said, God might only use you one time. But if you're not ready, so you have to be ready just, even if it's just one time that God wants to use you. It falls on you to be ready. That's what I said, you know, before you go to bed, make things right. Anything in the congregation, anything that you have with anybody, make it right. Because you don't know when the time it is that God wants to use you and you're not ready. He cannot do it. And God is perfect. You will be ready. If you're a child of God, God will make sure that you're ready. Brother Brown says, here in overcome, what it takes to overcome all unbelief. See, we have to overcome all unbelief. Our faith, overcome that. Then these other nine different spiritual gifts should be operating in the church to keep the church what? Clean. Clean of what? Unbelief. Brother Brown said one of these days they would see will not come to those doors. If we all yield to God, we come to church and our vessels are empty so he can fill them up. You know, you throw your mind out there, you leave everything out there, and you make sure your life is right with everybody else. See? And then these nine different spiritual gifts will be operating in the church to keep what? Sin out of the church. Like the Ananias and Sapphira and so forth. The Spirit of God rises up and calls somebody out and tell them they are living wrong. Now, the only reason this is not happening yet, Brother said it might happen, it will happen, is that we are not in a position right now, you know, kind of, we are not living that kind of a life yet. Let me see how I want to put this. We come to church, and as Brother always said, even when you came to the line for being prayed for, he says, make sure you confess all your sin, make sure your life is right. Because if you come over here, God will show it to me. See? But see, it's not happening in the church when people come through here. So as long as it's not happening, I'm okay. Nobody's going to know what I'm doing. But what happened one of these days when you walk through the door and you think nothing is going to happen and, you know, sin's going to be called out. Nothing's happening like that yet, so we kind of, okay, I'm fine. I'm okay living this way. I'm not saying that you're committing sin or you're living wrong. I'm saying, you know, we're not living the kind of life that we should live because there's nothing else wanting to bring accountability for what we do every day. Because you're supposed to be accountable for everything you do in the eyes of God. But if, I tell you what, if you walk through those doors, somebody calls out calling sin, you will be the first one to run back out. I don't know. But it will happen. Roman said, it will happen. So are you live and worthy and ready when that time comes? Amen. It says, the Spirit of God rises up, calls somebody out, and tell them you are living wrong. And rebuke the sin openly. And that's what the Holy Spirit is in the church for. But because it's not happening, we are comfortable yet still. You see, it is happening. The first time it was happening, we're going to get uncomfortable. Because now you cannot hide. Now everything is okay. It's peachy, you know. Nobody's calling anything. But what happened if this happened? And we are not ready. So that's why you have to repent. Brother said, before you come to this land, before you come to church, make sure your life is okay, it's right. You have ask for forgiveness, forgive somebody, or if you have done anything, whatever. You have to do. Because when you come to those doors, you want God to use you, not so much calling out your sin. God wants a vessel that is clean and empty and holy to be used. Rebuke the sins openly, and that's what the Holy Spirit is in the church for, to keep the church clean and ready for the coming of the Lord. Amen. So, if the church is not clean, the church is not going anywhere. And clean, like I said, I don't mean, you know, sin. I'm talking about unbelief. Because if we believe God, we do what God says, right? But if we don't believe God, we do something else against God. So it's all unbelief. Sin is unbelief. Not doing what God asks us to do. The gift here that in 1 Corinthians 12 says, now concerning the spiritual gift, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. Now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are different administration, but the same Lord. So, and there are diversity of operation, but it's the same God which worketh in all. There are many gifts, But it's God that is working on the screen. Just God. God wants to talk through you. God wants to do through you. The gifts are there so God can express himself. So don't tell me that you don't have any gift, because then you'll be able to express God. God expresses himself through the gift, to the miracles that he do, supernatural, the preaching, prophecy. God expresses himself through the gift. So it behooves us to find out what I have. Because whatever I have, I want God to use it to express himself through me. We cannot go through life, through church, and not know my position, you know, my place. Even if it's just to clean the church, that's more gift, the gift of help, the gift of administration, the gift of government. There's many other gifts in the Bible. I've just read you a few. But whatever gift you have, and don't tell me I don't have any gift. Yes, at least you got one. Get out of the way then. So when the pulpit said, we need some help, you know, I want to help. Why? Because that is how God works, through the gift. Acts 5:1 says, but a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it and brought certain parts and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why had Satan filled her heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price? You know, it was their land. It was everything. But I bet you they had a piece of land that was worthless, probably. I mean, this is me. You know, in the desert, Israel is all desert. They're probably a piece of land that worth nothing. And they couldn't do nothing with it. And they were paying taxes, and they couldn't even do anything out of that land. So I imagine that they said, you know, the church said that they need money and blah, 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 blah to help the needy. So why we don't pray and ask God to help us to sell the land so we can help the needy. And we'll give all the donation. See? So God made a way for them to sell the land, probably for more than they could. This is just my story, you know. You don't have to believe it. It's just like Brother Brian used to tell stories. This is my story. I mean, imagine that they got more than they, because God helped them. But what happened? They didn't get all the money. Now, let us keep some. See, first they ask God, you know, and maybe the church, you know, pray for us. We want to help. And we want to do something. So pray for us so God make a way. So God did make a way. But that was as far as the God, but Satan got in the way, see? So what I'm saying is, sometimes we promise God, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to go, and then you don't go, and I'm going to do... So, well, you know, it's not like you're trying to lie, you know, intentionally. I know things happen sometimes. But the thing is, if you promise God something, you better be faithful to God. Not to me, and not to anybody, not to the church. We got to be faithful to God. And God wants to use you. Amen. But he wants to use you for his interest or his purpose, not for yours. See, they decided, well, I'm going to keep some of the money. But see, that wasn't the purpose. They already committed that money, but something happened. And I don't know how, and they decided to change. But they did. So this is what I'm talking about. Sometimes we promise, we get sick. Like, you leave me out of this bed, God, I will do this thing. They're out, and where's God? I used to work in the prison ministry many years, and I saw this guy, you know, he was in jail there, and he comes to the meetings. And I decided to talk to him and ask him, first time I saw him, I said, and I asked him his name, and I gave him a name, and I said, nice to have you. What are you here for? He says, well, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Okay. I heard that one. I believe you. And, you know, and I got in trouble. And here I am. But, you know, I want to change her now. That's what I'm coming to the meetings. And I know God is going to change you. I said, if you really commit your life to God, God will help you. He said, yeah, I got a board to go to see if they're going to release me or not. Blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I said, well, let's pray. And we pray. And he kept coming to the meetings. And one day he came and said, I'm leaving. The board approved my. I said, good, good. So he left. And he said, I told him, you know, before he left, make sure you find a church. Make sure you serve the Lord. Well, following week or following month, I saw the guy back in jail. So I asked him, what happened? You know, he said, well, this time it was my fault. I said, did you did what you promised God you were going to do? No. I said, well, this is the only place God can get hold to you. Now, this is your second time, so learn from your first time. Because sometimes that's what happens. The only place that God can put a man, you know, sometimes I put him in a bed in the hospital or some place like that, because that's the only time he kind of stop long enough for God to deal with the man. I said, well, you got some time now to think and to meditate what you do and get right with the Lord. So it seems that this is the only place that God, I mean, it's sad, but this is the only place that God can get hold to you. So, don't know what happened to him after that. But that's what happens sometimes. We promise, and we love to I'm going to do, and I'm going to go, and then what? Amen. So, here in Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto God works. God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So see, you don't have to figure out anything. Everything has been worked out for you. God is just waiting for you to decide, here I am. Use me. Because you already know what he wants you to use you for, what purpose. And that's already been predestined. Amen. So Brother Brown said, what is the work of God? Them days, God was in the Son, Jesus, manifesting himself to the world. What he was, and today he is, and today he is in, by his death and burial and resurrection, and our justification and believing in his manifesting himself to us in human flesh, our flesh, okay, through the Holy Spirit. So the same thing he did with Jesus Christ, God manifesting himself in Christ. Now God is manifesting himself in our flesh. So be careful where you go and where you take God. And what you said, because God is always there. You cannot hide. You cannot run. He knows everything. Why? Because if you are son or daughter of God, he's in human flesh. But sometimes if we do not repent or we don't make things right, he will take a flight on waiting on you to get right. Amen. He said, through the Holy Spirit, as we can yield ourselves to the Holy Ghost, see? It says, now there is the thing, knowing how to yield yourself. And some people, as I said in church, some can yield themselves to preaching, and some can yield themselves easily to teaching, and some can yield themselves to prophesy, some can yield themselves to other gifts. So all the gifts won't be alike. They wasn't alike. Then Paul said they wasn't. But each man is called and placed into the church for a purpose. And if he find out what God can use him best at and yield himself to that place, he will be what? So you want to be successful? Find your place. Find what God can use you and yield yourself to that. No wonder there are so many unhappy, grumpy Christians. Because God is not using them and they cannot figure it out. See? What I'm good at. If you don't know, just pray. But however, if you cannot find out, you have one gift. Surrender your life to God completely. And say, here I am, empty, fill me. Use me and just wait. And God will use you. Amen. Faces the substance. A tree might have a sycamore bark on it, but if it is bearing apple, it is apple tree. Okay? This is a sinful flesh. But if the Holy Ghost is inside, and where the fruit, what kind of a fruit will bear? God fruits. Yeah, don't judge too much the cover of this book. Okay? But it says, that's right, it's an apple tree because the sap, see, it's what is inside the tree, it's not what is outside the tree. See, the sap, the life is inside of the apple. It does become a tree, it's changed to apple tree life and bearing apple in a kind of a, no matter what outward demonstration you give. As long as the inward here is the Holy Spirit, it will be the fruit of the Spirit. If it is the Holy Spirit guiding, if it is the Holy Spirit leading, if it is the Holy Spirit talking and giving revelation, the fruit will push out. See? It doesn't matter what the outside looks like. That's why they look at Peter and John and said, but those guys, I don't learn. We know those guys, I mean, they've been with somebody because those type of persons ain't okay. How can they preach that way? How did they learn to do that? Well, they didn't learn. They just yield to the Spirit of God. And it was the Spirit of God talking through them. It's what it is. And in order for that to happen, you have to stop talking. When you open your mouth, let Him talk. Get out of the way. It says, no matter what outward demonstration you give, as long as the inward here is the Holy Spirit, it will be the fruit of the Spirit. So we will know if something is God or not, by the fruit. Amen. It says, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, patience, gentleness, faith, temperance. Satan can copy any kind of gift, any kind of manifestation, but he cannot what? No. So, an excellent way I'm going to show you, Paul said, right? You can have all the gifts you want to. But if love is not the motivation and the interest, it's just like nothing. You have nothing. Like Paul said, I can, you know, speak to mountains, I can speak in tongues, but if I don't have love, you have nothing. So, love is what drives and it's the motivation to help. That's why when we come to church, well, let me stop that. That's right. See, Satan cannot love. You see, a man humble and loving and good to his neighbor and good to the citizen and good fellow and good man and a Christian man full of love and humility, you watch that man. Mark those in church. Mark him. See? Mark that man. Watch that man. See? That's right. He got his good, charitable, long-suffering. You can talk about him. All right. He forgive you. Don't make any difference to him. There's that. That's the real man. Keep your eye on him. That man bears. He is an example. So whatever he talks, he produces those fruits. Why? Because it's not him. It's the Holy Spirit in him. And he's letting himself be taken around by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is his teacher. The seal of God. They have got a lot of makeup, a lot of funny belief, talking about maybe denomination. They have got out there a lot of time and act like they had the Holy Ghost and said something that wasn't speaking in tongues. See, they're making this up. We're talking mainly about the Pentecostals. See, their life proved what it was. See? But there has been a real genuine article going just the same all the time. So just because somebody's abusing this thing, that don't mean that we need to stop. In this message, is something that people say that we don't need the gift anymore. Because Brother Man says, if I had to choose, I choose love. Well, good, because that's where you start. Because without love, you cannot run the gift. So that's fine. As long as there's love and there's a gift, you're okay. There, it says, so sometimes, you know, denominations and Pentecostal, they gave a bad rap to the gift, you know, in the way they were emotionally and using and sensation and this and all that. But just because they were doing that, the gifts are not bad. God gave the gifts. It's just that they misused it. Amen. But there's a right way. There's a right way to use a gift. Let God use a gift that is given to you. He says, hear ye him. He said, we hear over in India that God has given you a gift to make this Bible to live again. Talking to Brother Branham. That's what we are interested. They want to see the Bible live again. He says, that's what hungry-hearted souls want. What I want to see is a walking, living Bible. So that's what we are coming to church for. If not, I don't know what other reason we come to church for. We are written epistles to all men. So the same way that they saw Peter and John, I said, man, those people have something. No? When they see our life, they should say, there's something different about you. No? That was hungry hearted souls want. If that's what you want tonight, are you hungry? That's what hungry hearted souls want, is to see the Bible made real. So what we want is a walking word in action. You know, I'm sick and tired of myself. What I want to see is the word of God in action in this flesh. He said that hungry-hearted soul wants to see the Bible made real. You came over here because you want to encounter the real God. People come to church out there, they tired of all that stuff. They want to see something real. And here you have something real. And sometimes we don't estimate what we have. We don't know the value of what we have when we come to church. To see God come on the scene and do the way he did, the living word becomes living thing to us. So what did you came to church tonight? To see a living God. Where? Well, look at your neighbor. Because as we yield ourselves to God, then he can use us. Amen. Thirsting for the real thing. Too much impersonation. If we are hungry, if we are thirsting for the real thing, you're in the right place. Amen. But if you're not, then you won't be in the right place. See? And that's the thing. How much do you thirst? How much do you want to see the real God in your life? Not so much in your brother, in your life. Because if we're going to start, let's start with you. Or let's start with me. Let's not wait until somebody go first. What are you waiting for? Well, I'm waiting for myself. See? All the days of our life. This is a sick world, isn't it? But you know what is the sickest body on the earth? I said this with reverence, not to be sacrilegious. God, forgive me if I said something wrong, but the body of Jesus Christ, it needs healing, and it can only be healed by brotherly love. Did he say medicine? Of course, you can. The body. So when we come to church, we come to church because we love our brother, and we love God, and we love the Word. So when one person is sick, suffering, we all what? And if you don't, that means that you don't have brotherly love. Because if you love your brother, you will enter in his situation. Like Brother Brandon and the Mexican father, he had not sure when he got in front of him to be prayed for. And he tried to enter into his. When you come to church, if you love your brother, you do everything you can for your brother to be blessed. The only reason you are here is so we can come together in love and all our needs will be met. But if we don't love a brother, I mean, you can say it all the time, well, I love you, brother. I love your brother. So, yeah. Okay. But to what extent you love your brother? Will you stand with him toe to toe when he's going through something? When you come to church? See? Because that's where you're going to meet your brother and your sister. So I want to be here because if I yield myself to God and let myself open and let God use me, the only reason I want him to use me is to help you. The only reason you are here is so God can use your gift. The gift was not given for you. The gift was to help somebody else. Actually, it's called a gift. So you get a gift, but you have to give somebody else. This is the gifting program in the church. That gift that God gave you of love, not for you to love yourself, is so you can come to church and you give that gift of love to somebody else. So if somebody's needy, if somebody has a need or anything, you come to church with the motive and the interest that I want to help my brother. We just don't come to church and we all have a good time, then we go home. And everybody came the way and we left the same way. Nobody knows who or what, where in the zoo. And that's what we got prayer request. That's what, so we can put our faith together. And we love our brother so much that we want to see him healed. But the gift is in you to share it with your brother and your sister. But if you don't come to church or you are not, you don't understand how God's work, then you will miss it. It says, the body of Christ needs healing. And it can only be healed by brotherly love. That's the sickest body I know of all, broke to pieces and tore up. You know why? Because God is after. Satan is after that. He don't care about the lost one. He's the lost lot. But he's after you. 200,000 spirits, sickness, diseases, affliction, broke, whatever. You know, every time we come to church, we have requests. Someone is sick. Why? Because we are the sickest body, because Satan is after. He says, that's the sickest body at all broke to pieces and tore up. God, I pray for the healing of the body, and you are the member of that body. So this is your body. It's made out of, you know, all of us. So if one part of your body will be sick, don't you just try to and kind of rub it and put a bandage on it. I don't go so far with your brother, but you know what I'm saying. If that's what you do with your own body because you love your body, but why don't you love the body and do the same thing? Feel the same way that you feel for yourself to the body. And it will not be a sick person leaving this place. This is not just about coming to church and have a good time. This is more than that. It says, healing the body. You are the member of that body. So God heal you physically and spiritually. Make you what you should be. If your brother is not what he should be because he's ill, and if you're ill, then you cannot do what God asks you to do. So, now, you touch his garment tonight, and he will be God out there, just as he's God here. So, making himself real through the gift. That is the only way God expresses himself. The way you treat your brother, the way you treat, you use your gift, the way you let God use you, you know, use you to help someone else. Because that's why you came. Not for God to use you, for you. You know, it is for someone else. So you say, but I don't know anything. I don't know who is going to die. Lord, lay some burden on my heart about somebody so I can at least pray for that person. Who do I need to pray for? My wife sometimes, she said, oh, so-and-so name came in my mind. Well, pray for it and find out what's going on. Because if God put that in your heart, figure it out. But if we are not paying attention to anything, we just come to church, we go home, we eat, we go to Denny's. That's not the reason we came to church. We came to church because we want God to express himself and through the gift. And the only way he do that is by you and me letting ourselves have him have control of ourselves for someone else. I think sometimes we don't understand the implications of being a body. There's more responsibility than what you think, that just to come to church and sit down. Blind Bartimaeus. Now, if you feel, well, I am not going to be in the prayer line here, you just sit real still and be sincere and say this to God. God, make it real to me tonight. So if God has not made himself real to you, ask him. That's all. And if that man will turn, me not knowing him and not the Holy Spirit that he claimed that anoints the people, return, I love you, Lord, and I will serve you. You just let him turn to me and tell me like our Lord did to the woman at the well. And I will believe with all my heart and challenge your faith. Christ's name to do that. God said, prove me. You know, if I come to church and nothing happened, I'll be worried. I guess I am selfish. I want God to be real in every service. But in order to do that, God wants to use you to be real, because God is a spirit. Nobody has a spirit. The only way can God be real is through you, through your flesh. So what you're saying is, God, use me. Make yourself real through me, through somebody else. This is what you're saying. I mean, that's the whole thing. That's why we come to church. That's why we want to be a Christian. That's why we want to be where we are here. And that's why the purpose God called us. Because he wants to have preeminence in our bodies. And he wants to use that body for his own pleasure. Not yours, not mine, his pleasure. And that's a top calling. I mean, can you imagine God, the creator of heaven and earth, wants to come down and dwell in my body and use me? Who am I? As unworthy as I am. We should be like Jesus Christ. In fact, we should be a living biography written in flesh. By now, we should be, I mean, people will see you and should say there's something different about you. The way you walk, the way you talk, you know, the way you help others. Because that's what Jesus did. You know, we should be a picture of Jesus Christ. That's what Peter and John says. No, those guys being with Jesus. And if Jesus is in you, we should be a picture, a reflection of that life. He's our mentor. Anyway, he's been teaching us. All these years we've been coming to church. And he's been teaching us. And he's giving us the revelation of the word of God. See? So we should be acting like him. Amen? And we should walk like him. And we should talk like him. That's what they saw in Peter and John. They didn't saw Peter and John. They saw Peter and John flesh. They said, but we don't believe it. But they are talking different. They're acting different. What's wrong with that's not those two. I know those two in the flesh. See? Jesus denied himself. He never looked to his own interest for anything. He went around doing well. So we need to imitate our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to imitate his loving spirit, the way he was kind, even to the enemies. And he even forgave. See? That's one of the pyramid, godliness, to be God-like. We had to have that one. In fact, unless we get to brotherly love, we cannot get to perfect love. But before that, we had to get to godliness, because before we get to love, we had to do and be like him. And we sing that all the time. I want to be like what? Like Jesus. We need to submit ourselves to him completely. And be patient, like he was patient, and endure everything, suffering and everything that he went through. And then when people see that kind of a life in flesh, that says, you have been with Jesus. You're sorry, they with him. Amen. So the gift are not for ourselves. If that was the truth, then I could lay hands on myself, you know, when I'm sick and I don't have to call you. But see, that's not how God made it. I need you to lay hands on me, because the gift was not for you, it was for me. The pastor is a gift to you. Why? Because he gives all to you. See? And you and I, we should learn that we should give ourselves to others. Amen. So, making God real in our life, what that means is, get yourself out of the way, throw yourself out, and let him fill you and use you for his own pleasure. That's real enough. You want to see God in action, right? And we come to church and you can see God in action. But I would like to see God in action in here. Because this is what he needs to be in action in my life. And in your life, and in your life, I already said we all leave this place. John 12:14 says, and greater things. It says, if you have faith, greater things that he did, we will do. Well, you know all the things that Jesus did. Well, Peter and John were doing the same thing. And that was the prophecy being fulfilled. What I did, greater, because there's more you. So it should be a lot of Jesus Christ running around this church. Because he says, greater than I done, you as a body are going to do. Amen. So, tonight, don't ask me if you have a gift or not. You have a gift. So when you come to church, just leave yourself outside and come in and let God fill you and use you, not for you, for the benefits of somebody else. They like to set an atmosphere. That's a gift that God gave. But the gift is not for them. The gift is to send an atmosphere so you can be blessed. So when every time they come on Sunday, they're not giving nothing to themselves. They're giving it to you, because God works to them for you. It is for all for your benefit. God wants to love you. God wants to heal you. God wants to do all this. But he needs to use flesh. Okay. So we had to be like him. He took the form of a what? Servant. So we are here to serve one another. But I don't know who needs what. Just get down to pray. You know, say, Lord, he's my vessel. Use it. Feel it. Whatever you want me to do, that's what I will do. See? Amen. I don't have nothing else. So you guys stand. The gift of the Spirit, the body will speak. That's what the gifts are given. So God can speak to you through the gift. Amen. That's all I have. Sorry, I was going to keep you longer, but I don't think I'm going to. That's just a thought that I have. Wanted just to express it to you guys. Yesterday, let me tell you how this works. I've been thinking about this for a little bit. And I've been, you know, writing a few things. I always like to write thoughts. And then when brother's preaching, I'm writing thoughts. And yesterday, and I told God, if you want your people, if your people need this, let me, I want to do it. It's in my heart. You put it in my heart. So what happened? Yes, we met Andy and I and Brother Doug, the minister. Where are you, Andy? Are you hiding? Oh. And brother said, I'm kind of tired and I'm being busy. Brother Doug says, and he looked at Andy and said, Andy, will you preach? And he said, yes. And I held my peace because I said, God, whenever you want me to, let me know. Because that's how the gift works. I'm ready. I got something. You put in my heart. Then you make a way. You make me a way. I'm not going to try to make any. I don't have to. Because if I do, it's going to fail. So we kept talking 5 minutes later. And he looks at the phone and he says, "Oop, look, it's not going to be here." He said, maybe. And then they're sick again with something else. But he said he's okay, but he maybe comes. We cannot go with maybe. He said, I don't know, yes or no. So, and he said, well, I don't think. And Brother Doc said, Eli, can you preach? Well, I kept my peace. But I was waiting on the Lord. And it happened when it happened. And suddenly, from Andy, it just jumped this way. So I wasn't that much ready to preach, but I had to sit down. You know, I only had 24 hours to sit down. I had the thought, but I had to sit 24. Sometimes I kind of rough, and, you know, trying to move to things. It's because I didn't have enough time. And I'm making excuses. All I'm saying is that God wanted to speak to you tonight. That's all. And I was faithful enough to yield my gift that he gave me for you, to serve you. And that's what Andy and I, and that's what all of you teachers, you have Sunday school, that's a gift to teaching. You know, even to come down to clean the church, that's a gift of help. You know, Brother Doug, the only day says, you know, we need people that, you know, once they work, once they do in church, he just was saying, you know, get to pray. Lord, how can I help my brother and my sister? Not how can I help you. How can I? Can you use me to help somebody else? To help the church. There's a lot of things we can do. And now the meetings are coming. So there's going to be a lot of opportunity to help and to do. So do it for somebody else. If you really, really, really love me, you help me. Right? Amen. So, hope that you enjoyed that little thought. And I just pray that the meetings that are coming, that you think about these things when you get all these preachers over here and think what they're trying to do. Not so much them, what God is trying to do through them. Because they are sharing God with you. They're not sharing themselves. They're trying to pull themselves out of the way. So they can share God. So you can see God in them. Amen. That is our motivation and our interest is that you will see God. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
I surrender.
I know, Lord, your plan for me. I need you to fulfill.